Moving Iron Podcast is proud to be part of the Global Ag Network. The network is going live soon, so check out globalagnetwork.com for more details and updates. Now on to the show.
Moving Iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving Iron, time and time again.
Good morning and welcome to the Moving Iron Podcast Market Rundown with Angie Setzer and our special guest analyst, Colton. What's up, buddy? How you guys doing?
Oh, good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing real good. All right. So the markets right now are... I mean, they just took a beating yesterday.
There was
nothing really good that came from on any of that. Feels like the traders are a bit scared because of what, walking away from the North Korea thing early without a deal and kind of, Trump said, I'm going to take my ball and going home type of thing, and he just kind of left. I think they've got a little shake up there when you start looking at how is he going to deal with what's the residual effects of China now with that March 27th deadline that's kind of coming up there that's kind of sort of on this calendar, but not. So I guess what's your take of what's going on? Where do you see things moving?
Yeah, I mean, there's the big question. We did see yesterday that North Korea's nuclear testing setup is operational again. So that kind of goes against what we had talked about or seen with the last sort of summit there, that they would stop with the nuke and the nuclear testing and, try to denuclearize. Either way, they had agreed that they would do certain things, and we're not seeing those happen. So it does start to cause some concern. I mean, we have had, and I'm not trying to make this into a political conversation. It's just an observation from a lot of folks out in the, in the world and in the market. We had this North Korea, this is what the summit looks like, this is what we're going to accomplish, this is what we did accomplish, this is how it's going to work, and this is what's going to happen. And then it hasn't necessarily. We had the government shutdown. We're not going to come up with any sort of anything until the wall is funded, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're shut down for 2 months. We finally reopen, and if we don't have an agreement in 2 weeks, we're going to shut down again. Well, instead of doing that, we just allowed the government to remain funded and had a emergency declaration. So, that's the question we did see at the start of the week here. Pompeo came out and said, if it's not perfect, Trump's not going to sign up for it. And what does perfect look like? Is perfect possible? And so that's starting to cause some concern. The thing is, that is really a head scratcher to me, though, is none of this trade talk or any of that other stuff has been bullish to corn and wheat. It's not like we saw this huge rally in corn and wheat as a result of Chinese trade talks, but it's been the market structure. Those two market structures have taken the biggest hit. So, it's causing a lot of confusion. It is for me anyway. I mean, we're pretty used to seeing, a January through April sort of smash in the wheat market. If somewhere along the line, we have a complete and total puke, only to kind of recover into new crop. So that part isn't as confusing as the corn side of it right now, because corn really, if you sit down and start to put a pencil to paper on what, you could be looking at for carryout next year if we didn't see this increase in acreage that folks are everyone's still saying we're going to see this big increase in acres, but I don't know. There's about 3 feet of snow in Algona, Iowa right now that's got to melt, right. And it's March 8th. Now we are two months away from Mother's Day. We still got quite a bit of time. I mean, I get that, but we're also way behind when it comes to what got done last fall. So, there's just so many moving parts, and I've had a lot of people say, well, why is corn and wheat going down? And my only response to that is, if you have an answer, let me know, because I have no idea. And so to see soybeans actually remain relatively resilient, comparatively speaking, is also quite a surprise.
Yeah, that's the thing that's got me really worried right now. I'm looking at my watch down the dates, March 8th, and you start looking at, like, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, eastern Nebraska, southern Ohio, on that that area of the world, they're 2 weeks out from playing. Like this is the normal time frame for them to do it. And unless something remarkable happens, it's not going to start then, you know? So now you're going to start looking at, I mean, do you think Prevent Acres are going to start creeping into the conversation this year?
I think it's possible. I've seen a couple market analysts go back to like 2013, what we had seen on that side. You know, and so there's obviously a lot of thought that goes into Prevent Plant. We had conversations last year, you know, about it in the Dakotas. I think I was in Fargo towards the end of March last year. Yeah, it would have been. It'd been the last week of March. And, you know, it's snowy and they got another snowstorm and it was cold and people were talking about what that would mean or what it could mean. And we had that. I got tagged in a video of a guy actually doing some tillage work in snow where he was basically like, the hell with it. I'm just going to start doing what needs to be done. And they ended up growing a decent crop because the weather pattern kind of shifted and everything was okay. But that's the Dakotas. I mean, and the fall prior, we had relatively decent weather to get a lot of work done. You know, right now we didn't get a lot of that work done. The biggest question I have is what are we going to be looking at with trendline yield? Now, I'm not an agronomist, but a lot of the conversations that I've had with folks is that, you know, a lot of time over the last couple of years, we've been trying to kind of out yield our way out of negative margins, you know. And so that means spending extra to try to get better results. And a lot of folks this year are saying, I can't. I just flat can't spend that extra to get better results because there's nothing that I can, you know, I can do. And so that's the million-dollar question right now, too, is what are we looking at with yield potential? You know, what's acreage potential looking like? And so, you know, sitting here March 8th, obviously the bears in the market structure will say we have plenty of time, you know, and the bulls in the market structure will say, yeah, but this year's different. And so what's most frustrating is just about every year we have this conversation, and some years it changes and other years it doesn't. So we'll have to see, you know, kind of how things play out, you know, over the next 3 to 4 weeks weather-wise. But the biggest thing that we have going on is, you know, the logistical backlog that's going to take place with trying to get, you know, fertilizer and chemicals and things of that nature from where they are to where they need to be, especially with the river. I mean, you're going to see some really probably intense flooding, you know, along our river channels, too. You know, Mary Kennedy's been talking about it. She's up in Minneapolis, and she pays attention to a lot of the logistical factors that are, you know, a part of all of that. And she's, you know, already saying that, you know, it's going to be a nightmare, really. And they're expecting another 10 to 12 inches of snow in parts of Minnesota right around the Twin Cities this weekend again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, there's just all kinds of stuff that are packing up. Even if, you know, we're looking at the rivers right now that are already swollen and running at capacity, and then you start throwing in all the snow melt that's going to get there. It's going to be a very soggy, nasty mess this spring. So
yeah, it's going to have a big influence, I think, on everything that takes place.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, all right. So big report comes out today. Any real thoughts on that you think you're going to steer the market one way or the other?
I hope it just helps somehow stem the bleeding, you know, but at this point, I don't really expect much. Some folks are anticipating corn carryout to increase. Others are expecting it to stay the same, you know, same in soybeans. The overall consensus is that we aren't going to see any major changes versus, you know, what we had in place here in the February report. So I guess we'll see. All the attention after today is going to turn to acreage and quarterly stocks that'll come out on the 29th.
Right. Sure. All right, Colton, you got anything you want to add to the conversation here, buddy?
You want to say anything?
Your 2 cents on corn?
You say, what should you do with corn? He's like, I don't know. Buy, hold, don't sell. I don't. He's got nothing.
Whatever works for you, right?
Yep, exactly. Depends on your operation.
That's right. That's right. Easy answer. Yeah. All right.
Can you say bye? No. Or just not today. This has been a week, and it looks like it's going to carry into the weekend, so that's always fun.
Right on. Well, Angie, if folks want to reach out to you and ask you a question or pick your brain about something going on, how to do that?
You can find me on Twitter at Goddess of Grain, or you can email me at asetzer@citizenselevator.com.
All right, Angie, we'll talk to you next week and have a good rest of this one, and we'll talk to you then.
You too. Have a good one.
I'll see you.
In
iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving higher, time and time again. Through the years, you'll find us here.